Jaguars Digital. Jaguars, Jaguars Digital. Jaguars Drive Time. Brian Sexton, John Osher, Ashlyn Sullivan. Jaguars Drive Time starts right now.
Good morning and welcome to Jags Drive Time on Friday, the first day of December, and what a beautiful week it's been in Jacksonville. Looks like it's going to be again today. Glad you're with us here for the next half hour as we get you set for kickoff on Sunday between the Jaguars and the Colts. Ashlyn Sullivan is somewhere here. We'll catch up with her a little later. Until then, we've got a cast of characters. John Osher sitting to my right and head coach Doug Marrone. Morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
How's your week been so far?
Good. We've had a good week of practice, getting ourselves ready to play. We had good enthusiasm, good focus. So we got to put together another good day today and get ourselves ready for the performance on Sunday.
You know, it seemed, talking to the guys in the locker room this week, that you didn't really even have to bring anything up. They were self-critical. They were, I don't want to say hard on themselves, but they knew what they had done wrong, and they were determined, coach, this week to go out and correct it on the practice field. Did you see that?
Well, yes, I have, and they've been good with that. I think early on in the year when it was, you know, win-loss, you know, they showed that they were able to come back, and, you know, then we tried to get some consistency about ourselves and, you know, put the four wins together, and then, you know, all of a sudden we go and we you know, don't do a very good job out in Arizona in our second away game. But, you know, now we're home and, you know, we're in December and now the performances are, you know, extremely important, obviously, and we have to be ready to go. And they've done a good job of coming back.
Three-game homestand, big opportunity, but I'm sure you're focused on just one.
Absolutely. And, you know, you not only focus on just the one game, you're focused on the moment, you know, what you're doing as far as the team. And, you know, it's very easy when we're together, we have to make sure that, you know, our central focus is on obviously just making sure we're doing everything to win games. And, you know, because when you leave, you're going to get pulled, all of us, in different direction. And still the challenge for the team is just, hey, remain focused. Understand that we have a big task at hand on Sunday.
Big picture, you don't see many three-game homestands in December around the NFL. I mean, this, for all the focus on one, to have three in December, it seems to be a great advantage to a team that's trying to make a playoff run.
Yeah, you know, it's almost like maybe they didn't when they made the schedule, they didn't think we'd be in the position we're in. But obviously, it's beneficial for us, you know, especially being at home at this time of year. You know, I think it's critical. Obviously, like I said before, early on, you know, we're trying to, you know, earn the, you know, the respect of our fans and earn the right, you know, or earn their, you know, earn them to come back, you know, by playing good football. And I think, you know, this is a critical time for us. We can do that, and, you know, our fans can show up and be proud of the team and their performance on Sunday, you know, and maybe, you know, putting ourselves in position to do something.
I'm sure this isn't a message you have to tell them much, but you earn the right as a team to get here 7-4 with everything out in front of you. And the opportunity really is there. Is that a message to them, or do they get that already?
Well, I think you understand that, you know, what you do, you know, previously, and then obviously November can give you an opportunity to play meaningful football in December. I mean, there's things like, you know, there's cliches around football that are like that, which are true. And, you know, this team has put a lot of hard work in. You know, they're, you know, it's very difficult to win games in the NFL, you know, whether it's, you know, especially on the road and at home. And this time of year is a difficult time because, you know, in my opinion, you know, I've always felt like you just throw all the records out because they really don't mean anything at this time of year from a standpoint of the amount of competitive nature that Sunday is going to bring, meaning that, you know, if you're a team that's in the run for something, obviously you're hungry, you're focused, you're ready to go. And if you're a team that really is not in the hunt for whatever reason, mathematically or whatever it may be, you know, now you're ready to fight and play that spoiler and knock people off. So that, and then when you're in the division, when you're playing within your division, then you can throw everything out because those games are always going to be hard fought and tough.
You know, a couple of years ago, the league was trying to make end of season games more meaningful. They had teams that had two or three game leads and they were shutting players down. So they shifted and started putting more division games in December. Now you have three division games in December. You like that? You like it coming down to December to win the division?
I think it's going to come down to that, you know, if you look out over the history of it, it's going to come, I know in my experience, it's come down to that, you know, almost every time that we've been in it. You know, I do understand if some team runs out there early, you know, then I don't necessarily have an issue with them if they have the ability to, you know, because of what they did early on in the year, they've earned the right to maybe to manage that team the way they want to manage it. And so, but I do think that, you know, the division games, and we focused on that. I think one of the things that we talked to our football team about early on, I'm talking in the beginning, is, hey, listen, you know, win the division. You know, and, you know, right now we're sitting at 2-1 in the division, and we have Indianapolis coming in here. And I think that's a big point for us, because I think when you go back and you look, the last time we had a winning record within the division, you know, you're looking at, you know, I believe it's 2005, which is a long time. So, you know, you want to make sure you're not going to be a consistent or a very good football team if you can't consistently have a winning record within your division.
You mentioned this week, tough to come back and play a team a second time that you've beaten, you know, and you expect the Colts to be a lot better than they were in Indy.
They look better. I mean, they're playing better, at least in my opinion, from the first time that we, you know, played them. I think they're doing an outstanding job against the run. You know, they've gone through some injuries, obviously, in the secondary. They have gone through some injuries with their offensive line. I think Brissett is playing better. You know, he's one thing he is doing that really no one's really talking about is that, you know, he's not throwing interceptions. Yes, you know, they've struggled at times with protection, but, you know, he's not throwing any interceptions. So, and they're still very dangerous on the perimeter, and they still have a Hall of Fame type running back who runs like he's 22 years old. And, you know, for us, we've got to, on offense, we have to make plays. You know, down the field, we have to, you know, be able to run the football, play action, convert on third down. So things, you know, it's very simple when you look at the things that, you know, when you say, okay, hey, this team hasn't performed well, or the games that we haven't performed well, it's very easy to look at the things of what we didn't do well. So all of a sudden you just switch it. And I think that when you play teams, you know, twice a year, the distance, I think, helps a little bit more than people think. When you have 5 or 6 weeks in between games, you know, it's not like where I've gone before and played the last game of the season and play that same team in the playoffs the next week. That becomes difficult. So, you know, each team has the same type of challenge going into it.
Did you, as we said, to finish this up with you, Coach, did you see the rating for last Sunday's game against Arizona? Anybody tell you what it was? The television rating? Just curious.
I mean.
Who are you talking to?
Exactly.
Well, I tell you.
I'm win-loss, right? I guess, you know, football coaches are win-loss. But I would imagine networks are ratings, and that's
29.
Their win-loss.
It was 29, and it was a huge win. And here's where I'm going with this. Wherever I went this week, whether it was Publix or my kid's school, people, they talked about the disappointment of losing last week. And I smiled through the whole thing because I said, if you're disappointed, it means you're coming back next week. It means you're emotionally invested in this team. And as someone who's been around here for 24 years, I can tell you, we're reaching a point where the community, your fans' investment in this team emotionally, is reaching levels it hasn't in a long time. I think you're going to have an energetic stadium on Sunday. People are so eager to be a part of what you're doing.
Well, you know, I think, you know, when you say what you're doing and be a part of this team, I think the way I look at it, and I may not have the right outlook on it, is, you know, I look at as this as being our team. You know, I really do. I'm talking about the community, the region, the coaches. It's not my team. You know, I don't look at it and say, hey, this is my football team. You know, I've been blessed with, you know, guiding this football team and the leadership part of it. But when I go into the team meeting, and I truly talk to the players about, hey, this is our team. I do that with the coaches. I feel the same way when someone says, hey, coach, you know, you see someone, if they say, hey, congratulations on blah, I say, well, congratulations to you too, you know, because there is, if you have an emotion and you have, and you're excited about when we do well and you're disappointed when we don't perform well, then yes, you are a part of this football team. And you are important to us.
If that's your definition, then, boy, you have a huge part of this community that feels that way. And I think with three games in December, what you've got is this building sense of, boy, this is exciting that we haven't seen around here in a long time. And you're going to see some, you know, some Santa hats on some people the next couple of weeks, and they're going to feel like it's Christmas because they've got a team that's in the middle of this thing. I'm just trying to paint a picture for people. It's going to be fun.
Might be one on you, one of those Santa hats.
I wear it when I go Christmas shopping.
Well, I'll be focused. I have a obviously we all have a job to do, and our job is to win football games. And again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And if we get people coming back, that's awesome. But you know, we're all a part of this thing.
If you get out and get any Christmas shopping done in the next couple of weeks, Coach, no. People will stop you.
No.
Who does that for you? Then who does that for you?
Bah humbug.
No. Yeah. One thing about football coaches, the holidays.
You get out of it.
Yeah, it's not, you don't have a lot of time to spend with the holidays. And, the people that don't get recognized for us are, the coaches' wives and the players' wives.
Right.
That, they're the ones that have all the stuff going on. Well, we're just, focused, dug into, making sure that we put our team in the best position we can put them in.
All right. Head coach Doug Marone, thanks so much. Appreciate you on Friday
Thank
morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Enjoy
it.
Friday.
Yep. Okay.
And we'll come back with big things and Ashlyn Sullivan after this on Jags Drive Time.
I called my 14-year-old son after the game.
Jags Wired is a brand new show that brings you closer to the field than anywhere else.
Let's go!
We mic up the players.
We're giving it out wholesale today, baby.
Giving you exclusive access to what's happening on the sideline.
Let's set this tempo.
And on the field.
Hey, you can't block me.
We break down every aspect of Sunday's game, taking you inside the film room and the locker room.
And we beat a good football team.
Jags Wired airs Tuesday nights on Fox 30 at 11:35 and on demand on Jaguars.com. Jags Wired. Don't miss out.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Rolling right along, first day of December. We're in the holiday spirit, even if the coach is so focused.
If that's what it takes, being a coach, you got a Christmas shop.
You'll be a coach?
Sign me up.
By the way. You're giving me grief about wearing a Santa hat. I've seen some of the ridiculous things that you've put on
your
head. Well,
the coach was in here. I didn't want to admit it.
I don't think you have to. I mean, I think
he's gruff.
You live. You know what? I wouldn't say he's gruff. I mean, when he first came in here, the first time we sat with him, I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting because he is so focused. And then all of a sudden, he'll give you something fun when you least expect it.
He's good in the morning.
Yeah, no, he is. And he enjoys that conversation. And I mean it. I've said to him on the plane, hey, congratulations on the win. And he's serious. He does turn and say, hey, no, congratulations to everyone on the plane. So it's what he believes. And we believe that we have neglected Ashlyn Sullivan far too long. You know, normally she gets in the show, bright, vivacious, starts us off. Oh, there she is. Hey, Ashlyn.
Hey.
But obviously we've kind of shifted the format here and brought the head coach in early. So you have to wait patiently for your chance.
I do.
Chance.
He's got important things to say, so I'm okay with it.
Absolutely. So we have big things to discuss. Mm-hmm. Where do we start?
Well, we talked about it a little bit with Coach about December and playoff month, and you can feel the excitement around here. I haven't even been here that long, and I can notice the difference. A three-game homestand all in December. People are excited. People are stopping us talking about it, and it's going to be fun. I'm excited. It is.
Well, it's fun if you win Sunday. I mean, this is a big game, and it can be really fun if you get this one Sunday and get to 8-4 and keep going. If you don't,
and
that feeling is what makes this one big.
They stack, right? So you've got people who are excited to come back and see your team this week after missing it for 2 weeks on the road. You beat the Colts, and then you get Seattle coming in. Mm-hmm. Seattle's got a big game against the Eagles, but it's in Seattle. You could have 2-8-4 teams squaring off. The game's been flexed to 425. So a lot of the country, more of the country that would normally see your team, is going to see it. And let's remind people, the Jaguars didn't play on primetime this year. They're not playing on primetime. So these late afternoon games are more exposure for them to have the opportunity to be seen. And now look, so you get one, then the other. Then you could have the Texans game, which they're not, they're not very good. They're injured this year. And it isn't necessarily your biggest draw, but, if you win and then win, I mean, you fill your stadium for the final three games before you go finish on the road, maybe come home for a playoff game. December is big. But as I said, people in Jacksonville were so crestfallen last week after losing in a dramatic way, the 57-yard field goal. But I smiled through the whole week because it told me how invested people are, the passion that people have for December football.
Well, absolutely. And it is set up. That's why I asked Doug the question I did. You've earned with 7-4 against a road-dominated schedule so far. You've won twice in the division on the road. You've beaten Pittsburgh on the road. Those are some heavy lifts, even though the Colts and the Texans aren't what we thought they'd be before the season. When you win on the road in the division, you don't necessarily chalk those up before the season. So to get here is a big deal. And it's hard to get to 7-4 when you've got the home games, because by definition you've had to do hard work early.
Right.
But they've done it, and now you've got three games at home in sort of your own little nest, if you will, where everybody's going to be fired up for you. Got to take advantage of it.
And Ashlyn, before the season began, John and I were talking about, just get us into the position where we're talking about the ifs, the possibilities that exist if you get into a situation where you're talking about what might happen in December. The fact that they're in first place and tied in the division lead and seem like they've got a really strong chance to win the playoffs without scenarios, just keep winning and be in control of your own destiny, it's more than either one of us expected when we were talking at camp. So what have you got for us, point number two?
A much-needed spark for this offense. Now, it's been no secret that the offense has struggled to perform the past few weeks. When Fournette cannot get going, we notice a problem. Now, Blake is being sufficient. He's getting the ball in the receiver's hands. But that spark, I think, is the receivers catching those balls. They have to be better this week. And you hope one of those young guys steps up on Sunday and makes a big play.
You know, Chuck Knoll, the Hall of Fame coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, four-time Super Bowl winner, always used to say, help is not on the way. You got to make do with what's here. So what can they do to get the offense moving? What is in their lineup, in their locker room right now that might work?
You're not going to like my answer.
I think I know it.
I mean, and I don't think there – help is not on the way, no. And I don't think there is going to be a huge dramatic difference in what happens offensively. They've had one touchdown. I think it's six in the last five games offensively. I don't think all of a sudden you're going to see three every game. So I think what you're going to see is them take what happened last week, which was Blake Bortles running the ball, being tough, making plays sort of above the X's and O's with his legs. I think you're going to see that. I think you're going to see some more play action, maybe a few more read option. I don't think you can do read option much because you get the quarterback hit too much. But I think you're going to see a lot of scrapping, a lot of let's try to get one touchdown drive a half, and maybe add a field goal with it, and then have the defense set us up for something. That's their formula. I just don't think at this point, through 11 games usually are what you are. So I don't think after five straight or six straight of really struggling, all of a sudden you're going to see this dynamic jump. But they've got to keep trying to scrap the way they did in Arizona.
Of course, they could be a little better than they are if everything up front works well. You know, Josh Wells last week on the 2nd-and-8 play in the final drive where Marquise dropped it, he didn't pick up Buda Baker, right, who stepped into the gap. He turned into the defensive end, and Buda comes quickly and pressures Blake, and Blake has to throw the ball a split second before.
But that's sort of what they do.
Well, no doubt. But what I'm saying is that you can play at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
If your offensive guys are all in sync and playing at a higher level more consistently, you can achieve better things down the field. You can be better with the guys that you've got. It's it's not just the receiver dropping the ball, right, is what I'm saying. It all works together.
I think the key continues to be, and I've said it since the Los Angeles game, they're going to take shots downfield. Blake is throwing the ball pretty accurately downfield. On the weeks where the receivers make those plays, I think you're going to see a bigger push offensively. When they don't, I think you're going to see what we've seen.
All right, Ashlyn, that's the offensive story, and big point number three has something to do with defense.
Yes, the defensive story, and can they play better? Now, we talked about this all throughout the week. John and I talked about it. I know you two talked about it. Can the defense play better? But we both talked about how they played well enough last week to win that game. I mean, Calais Campbell recovers a fumble for a touchdown. Was it their best game of the season? No, but I think it's a lot to ask them to play better after they are consistently a good team every week.
Well, there's two ways to look at this. The first is, can they play better? Can they shut down Blaine Gabbert on the next drive after Calais Campbell gives you the big touchdown? Can they come back out onto the field and hold the 17-16 lead? That's one way to look at it. And, you know, can they the other side of the coin is there another level to them? Can they score every week? I mean, it seems preposterous. They've scored 6 defensive touchdowns this year in one game at Pittsburgh. Within 6 plays, they scored 2.
And they've had 2 or 3 others taken. I mean, the opportunities that they create for defensive touchdowns is insane. And I don't think you're going to see an increase in that. And you hope you can see it continue because they need it.
The players in the locker room have said, all of them, there's another level to their defense. And I believe it because this is the first 11 games they've played together. You know, this defense will get better and play at a higher level. Can we expect it this year? Who knows? We'll find out over the last 5 games. They will certainly need them as the offense tries to figure out the best way that they can go forward. We're going to take a break. When we return in 60 short seconds, we'll have Ozone Snapshot, and he will, he won't, he might. To wrap up, as you can see, a beautiful Friday morning here at Everbank Field in Jacksonville as the Jags embark on a 3-game homestand. Back after this.
Presented by Fields Auto Group is the only local show taking you inside the huddle with your favorite team.
Give me everything you got. Let's go.
Each week, Jags big man in the middle, Calais Campbell, and a teammate join Jeff Lagerman and me, Brett Martineau, at Mellow Mushroom in Avondale for insight and access you can't get anywhere else. Come out and be a part of the show live or tune in Mondays at 7 p.m. on CBS 47, your official Jaguar stations. Jaguars All Access, presented by Fields Auto Group. Don't miss out.
Jags fans, it's time to win today. Get Jaguar season tickets so you don't miss a minute of the action at the bank this fall.
Touchdown! A pick six for Jalen Ramsey!
When you lock in on any season ticket package, you win today. Receive exclusive member benefits, including Jaguars playoffs and Daly's Place concert purchasing priority. Be a part of the number one game experience in the NFL. Visit jaguars.com/win today and pick your seats. Call 904-633-2000 today.
Jaguars keep winning. First place on the line is the Jaguars tangled with the Colts on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff right here at Everbank Field. Back on Jags Drive Time, Brian Sexton and John Osier. Time for He Will, He Won't, He Might. And John starts us off today.
He will.
Who?
This is Marquise Lee.
Okay.
He will be, I think, the key matchup, key offensive player that maybe people are overlooking this week. He's had a very difficult circumstance this year in the sense playing with a balky knee, if you will, for the last 6 or 7 weeks, and trying to step up from being a second receiver to all of a sudden being the one, which means players like Patrick Peterson shadow him over the field. He's probably not the guy who's going to beat that, and not many people are. So he won't drop a pass this week.
Okay.
How about that?
I believe that.
And I think that's really the key for him. The effort level, the want to, the energy that he's brought to the offense and the faith that they have in him is very, very high. Perhaps pushing too much at times to make the big play. And he might be the difference in the game because this team needs the big play to happen downfield. Dede Westbrook is showing signs of it, but they haven't been able to get to him downfield. Keelan Cole, I don't think he is going to be the guy this year to be consistent on the outside. I think Marquise in these last 5 games finds a way to step up his game and become more of a factor, the factor that they want him to be. So
all right.
He will, he won't, he might.
I will, I'll go with Leonard Fournette, and I'll say that Fournette will have a huge game. Didn't play the last time these two teams played, and the Colts secondary is a shell of what it was. Vontae Davis has been cut. Rashad Melvin is not going to play. Malik Hooker, the very promising rookie safety, is done for the year with the knee. I say the Jags are able to get down the field with the football this week, which will at least take one man out of the box, and Leonard Fournette will go off and have a big game. He won't extend his game without a touchdown streak. He has not scored since the 75-yard touchdown run here against the Rams. He will not continue that, won't continue the streak. He'll get into the end zone, and he might score both rushing and receiving this week. I know everyone wants to talk about the Colts defense. I think he has a huge day.
You just dismissed an entire franchise with one
I'm just not impressed. I'm not. I think he has a big day. We'll go to Ashland.
Tough crowd, Brian. Jeez.
Well, I believe what I believe.
All right, my he will, he won't, he might is Calais Campbell. He will continue to have a dominant season. 11.5 sacks on the season. I think that number only goes up. Now, he won't. He came out guns blazing at the beginning of the season. I think he's more on a consistent track. Now, it might start a little controversy with the senior moments over there, because I know you two disagree on this.
I believe that Calais Campbell is going to have a big December, because Yannick Ngakoue is forcing teams to slide the protection his way. I think he takes advantage. I think he finishes with a franchise record 15 sacks. That's 3.5 sacks over the final five games. I think he's got that in him.
Yeah, see, I wonder. I mean, a 10-year veteran, I will be anxious to see how much he has left in the tank this year.
All right. How about one ozone snapshot? You got one question for us before we sign off?
I got some good ones.
Okay.
Noah Johnson from Jacksonville. The offense probably won't have a complete turnaround this far into the season, and the receivers need to do a better job catching passes. But what could we do to get the run game back? Do we wait for the offensive line to get healthy, or do we use Bortles like we did in Arizona?
I think you'll see them use Blake a little more in that regard, meaning the read option. Fans want it. He likes it. The X factor, Brian, is he's taken so many hits already that I don't know if you want, you know, when you use it a little bit, he's not exposed that much. When you use it a lot, all of a sudden he starts taking hits off the edge and the outside linebacker. They don't want a scenario where they run him too much and then don't have him. Because say what you want, this offense is in deep trouble if he's not in the game.
Well, they don't score two touchdowns and even make it a game if he's not in the game last week. And for all the love that mobile quarterbacks get in this game, I don't want a mobile quarterback. I want a guy to stand. My quarterback stands in the pocket and throws the ball. Mobile, to me, means able to extend the pocket to the sidelines, maybe run for a first down, but I don't need
a guy
running.
Which he's been doing well.
Right. I don't need a guy running for 62 yards. That's not what I want my quarterback to do. That's why I drafted the kid from LSU.
Yeah, if you want your running game to get going, you know, I don't know if Frenesco has as big a game as you think he is.
I do.
But
I think
that's the way to get it going. You've got to keep grinding that spot.
It may be an outlier this week. It may get going this week because I think they run against the Colts. I'm not sure what happens when the Seahawks roll in with a legit top defense the next week. All right. Well, that'll do it for our show today. Jags Drive Time on a Friday morning. Thanks to Ashlyn Sullivan, who is, whether you know it or not, pulling double duty. We won't explain. To Patrick Cavanaugh, pushing all the right buttons in the back. And for John Osier, I'm Brian Sexton. Jags and Colts, Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. Stay with us here on Jaguars.com for all the action.